This is View from a Pavilion, a backwards reincarnation story set in Shanghai circa 1940, written by Martha and adapted for audio by Seth, S-E-F. Fandoms include Guardian, Detective L, and The Rebel. View from a Pavilion. Lo Fei threw open the doors to his wardrobe. It was leaking blood. The familiar scent, and the dawn light creeping through Lo Fei's windows, confirmed that the puddle of red slowly spreading across his floor was not the result of a broken wine bottle. No. A man wedged nearly invisibly into the wardrobe was quietly bleeding to death on Lo Fei's tuxedo jacket and dance shoes. Lo Fei tossed nearly everything out of the wardrobe. And there he was at last, a sad knot of huddled limbs in the very back, little more than skin and bones. Well, skin and bones and muscle, Lo Fei amended when he tried to haul him out, and the dying man fought him. Not for very long, but with ferocious strength.
"Hey, calm down!" Lo Fei yelped and stumbled backwards. "I'm trying to help!"
The bleeding man rolled his dark eyes up at Lo Fei, his face very white under the dirt and blood. Then he died, his body thumping against the wardrobe, before those tragic eyes had even closed. Lo Fei sighed and straightened up. He had heard a gun battle in the street earlier. No doubt that was where this unfortunate had come from. What was harder to understand was how a man with fatal injuries had successfully scaled the facade of the Sullivan building to reach Lo Fei's apartment.
"Sorry, friend,"
Lo Fei said in grudging admiration. "If sheer determination were all it took, you definitely would have made it."
"But did you really have to choose my home to expire in?"
Lo Fei rolled up the rug in front of the wardrobe and spread the drop cloth that he used for messy biological experiments over the parquet floor. Then he dragged the dead man the rest of the way out of the wardrobe. Before rolling the body up in oilcloth, he knelt and turned the man's head to place two fingers under his nose. Just to be sure. Then Lo Fei blinked, because he knew this man. The red that hazed his vision had nothing to do with all the blood on the floor. This was one of those bastards from the old Secret Service. Lo Fei even knew his name, Lin Nansheng, the earnest young agent who had so impressed Xiaoman. If not for him and his ilk, she might still be in the apartment across the hall. The ache of missing her stabbed like a knife. It hurt all the worse knowing he shared the blame. He should have told Xiaoman more about the Secret Service in Shanghai. Maybe if she had better understood their history of tunnel vision and sheer brutality, she would have been more circumspect. After all, the service had spent most of the previous decade openly condoning the activities of the largest criminal gangs in the city. A reward for their attacks on leftist student groups. In a very real sense, the sheer amount of power amassed by the captain had been thanks to that unholy alliance. But Lo Fei had only told her not to trust their agents.
To Qin Shao Man he said that.
She loved and admired Lo Fei, even trusted him, but she always, always had to verify her data.
Lo Fei should have told her everything, and it was no comfort to understand why he had not. Old habits kept anything related to the memory of blood in the snow and his sweet sister's smile locked down so tightly it simply never occurred to him to say more until it was too late. He was a fool, and once again, other people had paid the price. Then Lo Fei took a deep breath, boxed up his emotions, and set them aside. He didn't often waste time reprimanding himself for his sentimentality, but now he had to ask, was he really selfish enough to wish Qin Shao Man were still here with him in Shanghai? Against all expectation, she had emerged alive and mostly whole from those basement interrogation rooms. Being fired by Inspector Savoy and returning home to her aunt had devastated Shao Man. But the French Quarter was an open-air prison these days. Nothing clean and beautiful could thrive here now. Lo Fei wasn't naive enough to believe there was anywhere on the continent where Shao Man would actually be safe, but almost any place was better than here. From that point of view, Lin Nansheng had practically done her a favor.
Yeah, right. Lo Fei didn't see it that way either.
Then he felt a whisper of breath across the side of his fingers. Lo Fei groaned and sat back on his haunches, looking down at his maddening interloper. So the stubborn son of a bitch wasn't dead yet after all. The most obvious wound was in Lin Nansheng's thigh, where a silk tie had been knotted into an imperfect tourniquet just above the ragged, bloody hole in the inner seam of his trousers. Though it had only slowed the bleeding, it had unquestionably saved his life. Lo Fei grabbed a stack of towels and retrieved a knife from his instrument case, then crouched back down and slit Lin Nansheng's pants leg to expose the wound. Hard to gauge the damage under all that blood, but obviously he had been very lucky. Lo Fei remembered the gunshots earlier in the night, and he had a mental image of bullets crisscrossing the night street, trajectories unfurling like ribbons in their wake. If one of those flying bullets had shattered his femur or nicked the artery, he would have helpfully bled out on the street and not be Lo Fei's problem now. Of course, if he did nothing, the man would die soon enough anyway. Lo Fei thought it was a pity that he was just not quite that ruthless. Oh well. It would be easier to get rid of Lin Nansheng if he could eventually walk out under his own power. He folded a towel and covered the wound, bearing down hard. Lin Nansheng's eyes flew open, and he grabbed at Lo Fei's arms with that surprising strength. Trying to push him away? Trying to hold him in place? Lo Fei supposed the man himself didn't really know.
"We've got to stop the bleeding," he told him. "How long has that tourniquet been on your leg?"
Lin Nansheng let his arms drop and shook his head. Lo Fei didn't think he was going to be able to answer, but finally he gasped,
"Hours now. I don't..."
Yeah, he'd probably been slipping in and out of consciousness all night. The gun battle had been after midnight. It was almost six now. We've got to get that off, then.
A shaky nod. Lo Fei worked the knife blade under the silk tie, knotted around his upper thigh. Lin Nancheng curled his hands into fists, shuddering. The pressure of the tourniquet must be agonizing. Removing it was going to be even worse.
Not a sound, Lo Fei warned him. There are tenants who would be glad enough to report a scream.
Lin Nancheng blinked rapidly and gasped.
I understand.
Here goes.
He slit through the tourniquet. Lin Nancheng groaned softly. Blood immediately saturated the folded towel.
Damn it, Lo Fei muttered.
Although he wasn't surprised, and he placed a second towel over the first, pushing hard. Lin Nancheng writhed under his hands as blood soaked through the second towel, but he didn't make another sound. Lo Fei covered the towel with a third, bearing down hard. Lin Nancheng trembled. Red dots bled through the third towel, but didn't spread further, and Lo Fei finally let out his breath. He glanced up at the clock.
We'll give it half an hour of pressure before we try to clean you up and get a bandage on that. Comfortable?
Lin Nancheng raised his eyes, apparently bewildered by the question.
Since I can't move you yet.
He blinked rapidly, and then he smiled, quick and rueful. Even with blood between his teeth, he was so blindingly beautiful that Lo Fei's heart stuttered in his chest.
I had no immediate plans to go,
Lin Nancheng whispered. Lo Fei hardly heard the weak attempt at a joke. He was too busy reminding himself this was the same smile that had doomed Xiaoman. Under its bewitching light, she had willingly confessed all her frustration with the Secret Service wasting their time chasing communists while the Japanese garrisoned troops in the suburbs. Lo Fei dropped his eyes to his own hands, clamped down hard over the stack of towels on Lin Nancheng's thigh. He adjusted his grip and shifted from kneeling to sitting cross-legged beside him.
Are they going to come looking for you? He demanded roughly.
Japanese troops were skirmishing with mobsters and gunrunners, Lin Nancheng said.
They did not know I was watching them.
Is Chen Xiaoman safe? Son of a bitch.
You knew this was my home, Lo Fei said in cold anger.
He bore down harder on the wound. Lin Nancheng groaned softly. His breath was coming in quick, shallow pants.
Why did you bother trying to hide?
I was unsure of my welcome,
he admitted between breaths.
But I also thought you would be unlikely to turn me over to Justfield 76 if I were eventually discovered.
No, Lo Fei was not going to turn the man over to the puppet police of the Japanese, but it didn't lessen his anger.
Why did you ask about Xiaoman? He snarled.
Because he really didn't understand.
Your people still hunting communists?
No,
Lin Nancheng answered.
The Secret Service doesn't exist anymore. We've been military intelligence for years now. His breathing was shallow and fast. His pupils widely dilated, and his lips were turning gray. Fresh sweat had broken out across his brow, and a drop ran down the side of his face like a tear.
I asked because her detention was unnecessary and cruel. Obviously, she had nothing to do with the assassination at the Tatong Hotel. She was merely young and idealistic, but my commanding officer...
His voice faltered.
I very much regret...
Shut up! Lo Fei snapped. You're going into shock!
He checked the pulse in Lin Nansheng's wrist and found it as thready and weak as he had feared. He pressed Lin Nansheng's hand down over the stack of towels.
Can you hold that for a moment?
Lin Nansheng's eyes had closed. He opened them again with obvious effort, his blown pupils a fathomless black under half-opened lids.
I...
Keep pressure on that wound.
A direct command got through. The delicate skin under both his eyes trembled.
Sir,
he whispered. Lo Fei didn't think he knew what was happening anymore, but he felt the muscles tensing in Lin Nansheng's forearm as he bore down on the stack of bloody towels. Good enough. Lo Fei jumped up and returned with a blanket and the seat cushion from an armchair. He wrapped an arm around Lin Nansheng's bony ankles and lifted his legs to push the cushion underneath and keep them elevated. Then he shook the blanket out over him and took up a position at his side once more. He put his hand on the towels, staunching the wound. Lin Nansheng was still holding on beside him with white knuckles. Lo Fei tried to nudge his hand away, and it was like trying to shift a mountain.
I'll take it from here, Lo Fei said.
He patted Lin Nansheng's shaking, rigid arm.
Relax.
Wrong thing to say. Lo Fei wasn't sure this dedicated young agent of the party state knew the meaning of the word.
At ease.
He tried, and Lin Nansheng's arm trembled and finally slipped away. Lo Fei took his place, pushing down hard on the stack of bloody towels. It wasn't a good sign that Lin Nansheng didn't react to the pressure this time. The sun was rising. Morning street sounds filtered into the room with the growing daylight. Life stumbled on, even in wartime. While Lin Nansheng still drew breath, Lo Fei escaped to the inner courtyard of his mind. He supposed it was callous, or cowardly, of him, but he wanted some distance if Lin Nansheng's quick breaths finally stopped. He set about rebuilding last night's gun battle and Lin Nansheng's escape from it. How on earth had he managed to scale the side of the building? The Sullivan building rose in Lo Fei's mind. He let the edifice rotate slowly as he examined all four sides. No, it was impossible to reach the fire escape from street level. At least, no one could have done it without an accomplice, and Lo Fei was sure Lin Nansheng had been very much alone last night. All right, so it hadn't happened that way. Back up. Lo Fei expanded the view from his courtyard of the mind to include the streets around the Sullivan Apartments. Last night, shouting had started over on the Rue de Saigon. Lo Fei peopled the street with an indeterminate number of Japanese troops. More than six, less than a dozen. The
The second group was around the corner from the bathhouse on the Rue du Consulat. Only two or three folks there. Lo Fei placed them accordingly, outlines wavering in the paucity of hard data. Footsteps echoed as the first group emerged onto the Rue du Consulat. A car door closed. The ignition of a big, heavy car turned over. Lo Fei saw the Packard 526 on the Rue du Consulat, just in front of the Singapore Hotel. The two or three men in the second group were all piling in together, intent on their escape. Then the first gunshot rang out. At the time, Lo Fei himself had been curled up in a nest of cushions in the closet, where he usually stored winter coats and lab equipment, reading a chemistry text by the light of a kerosene lantern. These days, it was never a good idea to leave a light shining in the window. The first gunshot was answered by a fusillade. Lo Fei untangled the volley, shot by shot, red ribbons unspooling across the dark streets of his mind, and he counted an unlucky 18. The unluckiest of all had gone through Lin Nansheng's thigh. Where had he been hiding? Close enough to catch a stray bullet, private enough that no one noticed him when he fell. Lo Fei spun his mental image of the neighborhood, dropped it below his mind's eye for a magpie's view, and then it was obvious. A line of gray brick townhouses with interior courtyards lined the alley beside the Singapore Hotel. These days they were half deserted and falling into ruin. If Lin Nansheng had been hiding in the shadows against the nearest townhouse, he might have pulled himself through a window. He could have reached the inner courtyard without meeting anyone if the home were deserted. That would have allowed him the breathing space to tie a tourniquet around his leg. From there, if he exited through the front door, he would come out in the alley facing the northeast side of the Sullivan Building. Lo Fei watched his mental image of Lin Nansheng cross to the Sullivan. He was limping heavily, eyes scanning the shadows. He examined the locked and shuttered windows at the back of the building one by one, and Lo Fei realized he must have found one open, or simply forced one of the aging locks. His mind's eye watched Lin Nansheng creep in past the sleeping tenant and slip up the back staircase, out the second-floor window onto the fire escape, and he climbed two more flights to reach the ledge outside Lo Fei's bedroom. Brilliant white light suddenly flooded the scene and surprised the hell out of Lo Fei. What was that? Lo Fei had no idea, but he allowed the scene to continue playing out, confident this was the logical consequence of some cue stored in his subconscious. The streets beyond the Sullivan Building vanished. The rays of the guardian lantern flared in all directions, and Lo Fei burned. Lo Fei's courtyard of memory was the work of a thousand lifetimes, past and future. And the space where he stored the minutiae of daily life was but one prospect from a single pavilion. The guardian lantern shone down on hectares of winding stone paths and zigzagging galleries that led the way through blooming plum and cherry trees, ornamental bamboo, and mature azalea. The covered pavilions were paved in tile and decorated with calligraphy scrolls. brilliantly colored fish swam below the glassy surface of koi ponds. The guardian lantern shone above everything, and within the lantern burned the man who lived as Lo Fei in the final years of the Republic. As painful as the burning had been, his soul had long since been seared clean, and the flames made him whole. As he burned, clear and brilliant, he became the light pouring down upon those curving white paths and stair-step galleries, his soul its own illumination through the courtyard gardens. He might wander for eternity, cross every pier, climb each stone bridge arching high over trickling stream beds, linger endlessly in the shaded pavilions, and from there revisit the details of every one of the other lifetimes. He often did, especially the lives he shared with Shen Wei. So many ages and so many worlds, as the wheel of reincarnation spun on, past and future becoming one. Shen Wei was beautiful in them all. Chapter 2. Lo Fei opened his eyes. Lin Nansheng lay very still under his hands, his face marble. By the clock on the wall, more than an hour had passed. Lo Fei bent forward, half frantic, and fumbled for the pulse in his throat. Faint, but steady, he found evidence of his blessedly stubborn heart. Lo Fei tenderly cupped the side of Lin Nansheng's face and allowed himself a moment before he whispered, "Can you open your eyes?" No response. Lo Fei tapped his face with two fingers. Dark eyelashes trembled against white cheeks, and Lo Fei beamed down at him, so relieved he was practically giddy. He bent close, intending to kiss that beautiful wide brow, porcelain under the cropped black hair, even smeared with dirt and sweat and blood. "Wake up, love. I'm here." His voice trembled, as did the edges of his smile. "Shen Wei, you found me." His eyes opened at last, bloodshot, swimming with tears, utterly bewildered. "Who?" he whispered. Lo Fei went still. One beat, two. Then he sat back because he was much too close, and the rictus of a smile cracked his face. "The bleeding has stopped," he announced, his flat voice sounding like a stranger's. "Let's get that wound cleaned up." He blinked.
"Lo Fei?"
"Yes, you know me," Lo Fei answered, harsh now. He looked up at Lo Fei sharply, obviously registering the change in tone.
"I'm fine," he said very quietly. "I'll go now."
"Huh." Lo Fei snorted and shook his head. His heart was twisting in his chest and he snapped, "That's a great idea. You do that." Lin Nansheng immediately propped himself up on his elbows. His face went gray, and his eyes rolled back. Lo Fei lurched forward and got his hand under the back of his head as he collapsed. "Take it easy," he demanded. You're in no state to be climbing the fucking fire escape again. In truth, though, Lo Fei's anger was at himself for allowing his disappointment even a moment's free rein. In some lifetimes, the man who was now Lo Fei never remembered his beautiful courtyard garden of the mind, and when he encountered Shen Wei in the midst of those lives, he didn't know him. It was only afterwards, exploring the shape of that life in retrospect through one of the courtyard's moon gates, or taking in the prospect from a viewing pavilion, that he would finally recognize the mentor or the commanding officer, the village scribe or the abbot at the local monastery who had always shown such an interest. Only while standing in eternity could he see the expression in his dear love's eyes, Shen Wei watching him with adoration, longing to be recognized. And when he never was, did Shen Wei become petty and angry? Of course not. He silently resigned himself to watching from afar and doing everything he could to make his life better. And now, in Lo Fei's lifetime, the shoe was on the other foot. Shen Wei was the one who apparently did not know his own soul, and so could not know Lo Fei's. The room blurred. Unshed tears were pooling in Lo Fei's eyes and caught in his eyelashes. He lowered his head to scrub his face roughly against the side of his arm as he continued to cradle the back of Lin Nansheng's head. His cropped black hair was very thick, and it was stiff with dirt and dried sweat. "We will get you out of here when you're strong enough to go, I promise," he said when he could trust his voice. "For now, let me take care of you. That will make it easier for both of us." Lin Nansheng blinked his eyes open, bleary and unfocused.
"I need..."
"You need to let me clean that wound." Lin Nansheng blinked again, his throat working.
"It's very dangerous,"
he whispered fretfully.
"And she's waiting."
He broke off and looked worriedly back at Lo Fei. Lo Fei put a hand on his shoulder. "And I will help you return to her." It was an easy promise to make, whoever the woman was. Family, fellow agent, friend, lover? Lo Fei would do his damnedest, since she was important to Lin Nansheng. In every lifetime, Shen Wei grappled his dear ones to his heart. "Is she in a safe place for now? Do we need to send word?" "No place in Shanghai is safe," Lin Nansheng whispered bleakly. Well, that was true enough. "But sending a message could endanger both you and her." "I must go myself," he continued, and once again he tried to sit up. Lo Fei stopped him with nothing but his fingertips in the center of his chest. Lin Nansheng glared, trembling with frustration and anger. He was still so young, and in this world there was little guarantee he would live to grow much older. But right now, Lo Fei would settle for just getting him through the morning. He waited for Lin Nansheng to come to grips with physical reality, leaving his hand in place without any pressure, but emphatically not helping him up. It was no surprise that he was suicidally stubborn. From what Lo Fei had seen in his interior courtyard, 10,000 lifetimes would not change that. But infinite willpower was not always enough. Lo Fei reminded himself of his youth. It could be Lin Nansheng. Oh, Shan Wei was still learning that lesson in this lifetime. "Stop fighting," he murmured, "and the world will bow before you." Those dark eyes rolled up incredulously. But there was something more there, a banked but desperate hunger, as though he had never heard that Taoist truism before. Absurd, but maybe he had just never wanted to believe it so badly before now. Slowly, slowly, Lo Fei felt the shuddering tension leave Lin Nansheng's body. His eyelids fluttered, closed for a long moment, forced themselves open again. "Why do you want to help?" "Huh," Lo Fei barked in laughter. "Mostly because you went to a lot of trouble to drag yourself through my bedroom window." Which was not entirely a lie. But he groped for an answer that might allow this very serious young man to rest. "And we are both patriots, fighting for our people in a time of war." It was the right thing to say. Lin Nansheng finally relaxed. Lo Fei told him, "Gently now," and carefully lifted away the top layers of blood-soaked towels. The last towel had dried to the wound, so he soaked it with warm water from a thermos until he could peel the towel off, sopping and dripping blood that was diluted pink. Lo Fei got up and returned once more with gauze and a set of forceps, and he began blotting the skin around the wound to get a better idea of what he was dealing with. The bullet had gouged a long trench through the flesh of the inner thigh. Literally a flesh wound. Lo Fei was relieved to discover he didn't have a bullet in the leg, but the blood loss might kill him yet. He needed stitches, and Lo Fei allowed himself a wistful moment or two to imagine simply calling Benjiming to deal with this. Benjiming had the training, despite his dislike of living bodies, and he had better suturing supplies than the repurposed needle and thread Lo Fei was going to scavenge from a sewing kit. Plus, he had access to sulfa, which might still make the difference between life and death. Lo Fei shook his head. He was sheltering a member of the Nationalist Military Intelligence in the occupied French concession. He would not involve Ben Jiming in this disaster. He raised his eyes from the messy wound and the last clump of blood-soaked gauze gripped in his forceps to look at Lin Nansheng's face. His eyes were closed, dark lashes on his white cheeks, shadows blue under the prominent cheekbones. His breathing was slower and deeper. This was no disaster, Lo Fei reminded himself. This was a gift from the heavens. In the midst of death and despair, fate had brought this precious soul into his home. It didn't even matter that Shen Wei could not recognize him. Oh, it mattered. Lo Fei was not that pure, despite the cleansing light of the guardian lantern. But the heavens had given him the opportunity to help Shen Wei in this lifetime. He would never scorn so precious a gift. "Lin Nansheng," he said quietly, "are you still with me?" His lips moved, though he did not speak. His eyelids flickered. Because not fighting doesn't mean giving up. not quite a smile, but his lips twitched.
Never,
he breathed. I'm going to get some supplies together and suture that injury. Don't go anywhere. A faint huff of resigned agreement. Lo Fei got to his feet and dragged an armchair in from the living room, positioning it so the morning light came streaming in across the seat. Next, he set water to boil over the spirit lamp he used to make coffee, then dug supplies out of his sewing kit. He found phenol solution in his chemical chest and got that out as well, wincing. It was going to be brutal, but he thought a bullet wound needed more serious treatment than his little commercial bottle of mercurochrome. He poured the boiling water into a basin to cool. The needle, thread, and tweezers he dropped into a flask, covering them with a few milliliters of phenol to sterilize them. He crouched down beside Lin Nansheng once more. I know I told you to lie still, but now I'm going to move you into better light. Lin Nansheng rolled his head toward him and slowly blinked open his eyes. Yes, he breathed. I'm not sure how much I can help, however. You can help by just lying still, Lo Fei assured him. I'll pull you to the window first. That was the easy part. He clutched a fistful of the drop cloth in each hand above Lin Nansheng's head and dragged him backwards into the morning light from the east window. This part will be a little trickier, Lo Fei said next. I'm going to get behind you and lift you up into the chair. You don't have to do anything. He crouched behind Lin Nansheng and put his hands under both arms. And up, he declared optimistically. Lin Nansheng was a solid weight in his arms, compact and muscular. Lo Fei heaved, and Lin Nansheng fell against his chest, his back hot, and his shirt wet with sweat. Lo Fei trembled as he tried to straighten, struggling to keep his balance, but Lin Nansheng helped by pushing with his good leg, and finally, they were off the floor. From there, maneuvering him back into the chair under the window was more awkward than taxing. He helped Lin Nansheng settle, a pillow at his back so his hips were at the edge of the chair. Lo Fei swung the ottoman around. And we'll prop that leg up here. Ugh. Lin Nansheng allowed Lo Fei to help position his calf across the ottoman. He groaned only once, quickly swallowing back the sound. It's all right, Lo Fei told him. That was the hard part. All downhill from here. Lin Nansheng raised his head and glanced at the gathered supplies, then back at Lo Fei. He was breathing hard, but there was something like amusement in his eyes. Lo Fei winced, then smiled back ruefully. Right, that was a bald-faced lie. You must know a thing or two about field dressing. Probably more than me, so feel free to chime in. Before stitching you up, we're going to flush the wound with water. Then I'm going to apply antiseptic. That won't be much fun, I'm afraid. Lin Nansheng blinked. You have carbolic acid, he said softly. A solution of phenol. I could smell it when you uncapped the bottle.
I am really very fortunate.
His voice grew even fainter.
They would use the same before surgery in the hospital.
If you were in hospital, they would put you to sleep first. I'm sorry, I don't have chloroform.
He hesitated, then said, I could give you heroin.
Lin Nancheng's eyes widened in alarm.
Not enough to knock you out, Lo Fei added quickly. I wouldn't dare without knowing your tolerance, but at least you wouldn't remember much about it afterwards.
Absolutely not.
I thought that's what you might say, Lo Fei agreed immediately, because Lin Nansheng looked ready to try and walk out if he didn't.
I've got some homebrew wangju, though. Aged almost a week now. He laughed. So I can't specifically recommend the vintage, but a few swigs might take the edge off.
No,
Lin Nansheng declared. I prefer to have a clear head. I am indebted to you for your help, but further delay will not make this easier for either of us. Please, go ahead when you are prepared.
Easier for me, but I'm fine, Lo Fei asserted cheerfully, as if saying it were enough to make it true. I just wanted to make sure you were ready. He put his hand on Lin Nansheng's shoulder without thinking about it. The man looked up at him in surprise. Lo Fei smiled tightly and removed his hand. He placed an enamel basin on the floor between the armchair and the ottoman, beneath Lin Nansheng's outstretched leg, and he cut away the rest of his shredded pants leg with a pair of sewing scissors. Finally, he returned with the water he had boiled over the spirit lamp, cooled enough to use by now.
Flushing the wound first, he said unnecessarily.
Lin Nansheng nodded once, and Lo Fei directed a careful stream of warm water over the broad, deep trench left behind by the bullet. Lin Nansheng hissed sharply. Pink water drained into the basin on the floor. Lo Fei kept pouring slowly, sluicing out the injury, and he was dimly amazed all over again that Lin Nansheng had not only survived, but then made it up to his apartment. Shen Wei's spirit remained unbowed in every lifetime. Lo Fei felt a clutch of love that made his head swim. He blinked impatiently and felt a few errant tears slip down his face. Damn it, Lin Nansheng needed help from him, not sentiment, which in any case, he would not understand. Lin Nansheng was gripping the leather arms of the chair with white-knuckled hands, and he kept his breathing very slow and even until Lo Fei finished. The wound did not look appreciably better for being clean. It was simply all the more obvious how serious it was, and Lo Fei thought he could already see early signs of infection. He was uneasily aware the injury might need surgical debridement before suturing. But despite a few hours of practice on corpses under Benji Ming's tutelage, Lo Fei, sure as hell, was no surgeon.
Damn it, he wished the doctor were here.
That was the easy part, I'm afraid, he told Lin Nansheng, and he thought his voice sounded steady enough. He rolled up a cloth napkin and held it out to him. Bite down on this. Lin Nancheng unclenched his grip on the arm of the chair to accept it.
"Thank you,"
he whispered, and placed it between his teeth while Lo Fei poured phenol into a small flask. He saw that his hand was trembling. He took a deep breath and tried a joke.
"Doing this without anesthesia feels like we're taking a page from your Secret Service. But I promise I won't start asking questions."
Lin Nancheng rolled his eyes up at him, carefully expressionless. Lo Fei laughed out loud because he could hardly believe he had just said that. He sat down hard on the ottoman. Frankly, he couldn't trust his legs anymore.
"This is going to be bad,"
he warned bluntly as he clamped his left hand down on Lin Nansheng's leg below the injury to steady them both.
"I'm sorry."
Then he poured antiseptic into the bullet wound. Lin Nansheng grunted around the cloth in his mouth, his body spasming. Lo Fei forced himself to finish before he set aside the little flask.
"It's done,"
he said hoarsely. He put his hands on Lin Nancheng's shoulders and told him,
"Breathe through it. I have you."
Lin Nancheng kept shuddering. His groans were muffled by the gag, and his face had gone dark red, a vein standing out in his temple. The muscles in his forehead were clenched so hard that a crevice seemed to divide the center of his brow. Lo Fei was seriously concerned about an aneurysm. Slowly, though, Lin Nancheng forced his body to relax. He unclenched his fists and sank back into the armchair by degrees, still trembling. Eventually, he reached up and dragged the makeshift gag from his mouth. Lo Fei offered him a handkerchief and didn't speak because he didn't trust his voice. Lin Nancheng took it with fingers that still trembled. He looked up at Lo Fei through red eyes, face wet with tears, and then he reached out and used the handkerchief to blot the tears from Lo Fei's face instead of his own.
"This war asks more than any of us actually has the strength to give. But a trusted comrade has told me."
He had to stop to catch his breath. Then he continued in a hoarse whisper.
"My comrade said to me that every act of resistance, no matter how small, is an assertion of indomitability."
Impossibly, he managed a smile for Lo Fei then. He still had blood between his teeth.
"I have to believe my comrade is right. Thank you for what you're doing for me."
Lin Nancheng was trying to comfort him, the man who had just endured carbolic acid in an open wound, was trying to reassure Lo Fei. Lo Fei wanted to cradle Lin Nancheng's careful hand in both his own. Instead, he sat up straight and moved out of range. He laughed now because his heart was breaking.
"Your comrade sounds like an incorrigible optimist," he managed.
The Nansheng didn't laugh in turn, but his eyes brightened.
I've never heard Lao Ge described that way.
He refolded the handkerchief and dried his own face.
But, yes, we shall win, because our cause is just.
No one wins in the end, Lo Fei thought. Violence spawns future generations of the same, spreading as inevitably as the ripples from a pebble tossed in a koi pond. The view from Lo Fei's courtyard pavilion only confirmed a truth attested to by all of human history.
I am not a weapon, he heard himself saying. And neither are you.
The light dimmed in Lin Nancheng's eyes.
Not much of one, he agreed. Not now, but with your help.
Lo Fei closed his eyes.
I will be again. I am prepared to continue if you are ready to suture my injury.
Lo Fei opened his eyes and stood. We'll wait until the wound is dry. In the meantime, you should drink some water if you think you can keep it down. I'll bring you a cup. He turned and walked away without waiting for an answer. Surprised, his shaking legs still supported him. He took time to regain his control before he returned with a cup of warm water in each hand.
Still awake?
Lin Nansheng's head was slumped forward, but he looked up at that.
Can you take a few sips?
You will have some as well, Lin Nansheng murmured, still worried about his caregiver instead of himself.
Well, Lo Fei had predicted that.
Right here. He lifted the second cup to his lips and took a healthy swig, though the water sat uneasily in his stomach. Lin Nansheng watched him and then accepted the cup, which he promptly set aside.
I will drink some shortly.
You need water, Lo Fei said. He kept his voice level. Do us both a favor and drink some now.
Do you feel sick?
I'm fine, Lin Nansheng said immediately. He would not look Lo Fei in the face.
I will have a few sips. Once you have completed suturing my leg.
I can't help you unless you are honest with me, Lo Fei said, complimenting himself on sounding calm, even as his heart sank. Are you too nauseated to manage even a swallow of water?
It will pass.
That seemed to be the closest Lin Nansheng could come to admitting weakness. Lo Fei nodded and stepped back so he could sit down on the bed. This wasn't surprising, but it sure as hell wasn't good. Lin Nansheng's nausea could be a symptom of his shock or evidence of a spreading infection. It was likely both. So there was no point in stitching up that wound if infection had already set in. And shock would kill him if they didn't figure out a way to get fluids into him. Lin Nansheng needed an IV. He needed sulfa. In all likelihood, he needed a surgeon to clean out that bullet hole before it was sutured. Lo Fei made himself consider that reality for a little while. He wanted to be sure he was seeing the situation clearly and not reacting with emotion instead of logic. He had just found Shen Wei in this lifetime, but his eternal love didn't know him. And by the way, Lo Fei was torturing him with painfully inadequate medical care. If Lo Fei made the wrong decision now, Lin Nansheng would die. On the other hand, asking Ben Jiming to bring medical supplies across the French concession would place his best friend in terrible danger. Ben Jiming would come to him, Lo Fei knew. Did he have the right to ask? Lo Fei had another sip of his warm water and wished it was his home brew instead.
Chapter 3
"The sutures," Lin Nansheng persisted.
"That wound is infected," Lo Fei told him. "You need sulfa and surgery, not a line of stitches."
"No,"
Lin Nansheng immediately disagreed.
"I do not. I am not..."
He broke off. Lo Fei waited. This young warrior had a zealot's determination, but Shen Wei was not a fool. Not in any lifetime.
"I fear you may not be wrong."
Another long silence.
"Then, if you will bandage my injury and lend me a pair of trousers, I will summon a rickshaw. You have my thanks, and the thanks of all true patriots."
Lo Fei sighed. "That's not going to work."
"Then what?" "I'll need your help reaching the street."
"No, I mean I can't send a man going into shock across the French concession in a rickshaw. Lin Nansheng, look at yourself." Of course, he only looked at Lo Fei. "I have a friend who's a doctor," Lo Fei said then, having made his decision. "I'll call him, but in the meantime, you must rest and gather your strength." He picked up the water cup Lin Nansheng had set aside. "Not even a swallow?" Lin Nansheng took the cup.
"Thank you."
After a moment's pause, he dutifully took a sip, but his face twisted and he immediately choked, water spilling over his chin. Lo Fei jumped forward to take the cup out of his hand as Lin Nansheng doubled over, coughing. He had a fresh handkerchief in hand, having intended to blot his face dry, but ended up simply supporting his shoulders to keep Lin Nansheng from slipping out of the chair.
"I'm sorry,"
Lin Nansheng whispered at last.
"I'm sorry."
"Hush. Catch your breath, and then we'll move you to the bed." The coughing fit had left Lin Nansheng shaking, fresh tears dripping from his downturned face. Lo Fei half knelt and patted his face dry with care. Lin Nansheng closed his eyes and then blinked them open again, forcing himself to meet Lo Fei's gaze. He seemed to be struggling to find the words, so Lo Fei said them instead. I believe that wise comrade of yours, Lao Gu, was it? Would agree you cannot win the battle while disregarding the demands of your body. And I further believe that he would very much like you to survive this day. As would the woman who is waiting for you, Lo Fei thought. But he only finished, "Now let me get you to bed." When he finally nodded in agreement, Lo Fei carefully settled one of Lin Nansheng's arms over his shoulders. He began to straighten. "Here we go." It proved easier than getting him off the floor had been. Trembling with weakness, Lin Nansheng still managed to stand with him. He stifled a groan at their shuffling progress to the bedside. Lo Fei helped him sit, then said, "Wait," as his shoulders slumped. "Let's get this off." He slipped the leather coat from his shoulders, unbuttoned the work shirt, and pulled that off as well. His undershirt was soaked with sweat. "I think you'll be more comfortable without it," Lo Fei told him, and Lin Nansheng wordlessly allowed him to pull the white undershirt over his head. As Lo Fei helped him finally settle back on the bed, he saw the scar over one shoulder blade, a wound so recent that neat lines from the pulled sutures still crossed the red scar tissue. There was a splatter of older wounds along his ribcage and up the underside of one arm, as though Lin Nansheng had been trying to shield his head from a spray of shrapnel. The dark scar slashed across his bicep was likely another bullet wound. Lo Fei did not let himself react to any of it. How could he be surprised? Lin Nansheng was a soldier at war. He was a weapon. Lo Fei looked away. "I think these trousers are done for," he said. "Let's get those off as well." Lin Nansheng opened his eyes briefly. He fumbled at his waist, then unbuckled the belt and unbuttoned his trousers, lifting his hips so Lo Fei could pull away the remains of the ruined pants. Lo Fei turned away from those scarred white limbs and torso, ropey with muscle and far too lean. He returned with a fresh bandage that he laid gently over the most recent bullet wound, hiding its livid color and the flush spreading ominously across his thigh. Then he pulled up the covers to keep him warm. "Just rest. I'm going to get in touch with my friend. Call if you need anything." Lin Nansheng briefly opened his eyes. "Thank you." "Rest." Lo Fei forced himself to leave the bedside. In the next room, he had the exchange ring Benjiming's number. A moment later, his friend's voice was on the line. Lo Fei felt tears come to his eyes. Finding Shen Wei had made him feel like he already had one foot in eternity. Benjiming's voice reminded him that he was still very much a part of the world. Every experience and every friend was so precious and so breathtakingly fragile.
"Lo Fei," Benjiming asked again. "Is everything all right?"
"Better than all right," Lo Fei asserted cheerfully. "But you'll never guess what I've come across. A bottle of Burgundy. And I couldn't think of anyone I would rather share it with than you." Across the telephone wires, Benjiming inhaled sharply.
"Red or white?"
"It's a beautiful Pinot Noir," Of course I thought of you.
Benji Ming was no actor, and he didn't sound like a man talking about a bottle of wine as he asked,
Have you opened it yet?
Lo Fei made his voice especially hearty in response. You know me too well. You should probably make haste if you would like a glass. It's the finest of French wine, my friend. We will not see its like again.
Benji Ming did not hesitate.
I can be there within the hour. Take care, you and your open bottle.
He rang off. Lo Fei put down the handset and went to look in on Lin Nansheng. He lay quietly, just the way Lo Fei had left him. But he wasn't asleep. Without opening his eyes, he said,
Thank you for being so careful.
Lo Fei laughed it off. I doubt it would have fooled your old Secret Service, but you are safe now. Just rest. Lin Nansheng did not reply to that. Lo Fei picked up the basin of blood-tinged water left over from cleaning the wound, and then collected the blood-soaked towels. Lin Nansheng lay quietly, his breathing too controlled for sleep. Eventually, Lo Fei came back to his bedside and took his wrist to check his pulse. At that, Lin Nansheng forced his eyes open.
I am fine, he whispered. Your bottle of burgundy is not going anywhere.
Lo Fei smiled down at him, but Lin Nansheng had already closed his eyes. Ben Jiming was as good as his word, and he arrived at Lo Fei's doorstep within the hour. Lo Fei ushered him in at once. He had spent the past hour watching Lin Nansheng lie as still as death, while he worried about Ben Jiming crossing the French concession alone with his medical supplies. He was so glad to see him now he could have kissed his old friend. He settled for stepping back to observe him with a critical eye. Benji Ming was dressed in a loose gown with a cloth cap pulled low over his ears and brow. He looked like a senior craftsman or a chef in one of the big hotels, right down to the basket he carried over one shoulder. As effective as the disguise was, Lo Fei had to wince. It had been a good way to pass along the streets almost unseen, but if Benji Ming had been stopped anyway, he was likely to have been summarily executed for smuggling medical supplies, rather than just having those supplies confiscated. "When you leave here, you will be dressed as a doctor," Lo Fei snapped at him. "I don't care if the Japanese do confiscate your supply of sulfa. It's not worth your life."
"It's good to see you, too," Benji Ming returned mildly. "And it could have cost your life if you were the one who needed the antibiotics."
He put down the basket and grasped Lo Fei's upper arms, holding on hard enough to bruise.
"I was afraid you were bleeding out, you son of a bitch," he said, halfway between laughing and scolding.
"But you're not hurt, are you? Where's your damn bottle of burgundy?"
"I'm fine. I'm fine. He's simply a bystander who caught a stray bullet on the street last night. You don't know him, and he doesn't need to know you."
"Ah." Benji Ming looked at him for a long moment. Then, to Lo Fei's utter surprise, he yanked him forward into a fierce hug. "I hope you know what you're doing. But I'm glad you called. You can always call."
"It's not what you think," Lo Fei protested, laughing.
Whatever Benji Ming suspected, Lo Fei had not done it. He was not involved in any of the internecine battles racking the French concession these days, and he was not sheltering a lover.
Oh. On second thought, it seemed he was doing both those things.
Benji Ming finally released him, his disinterested but friendly mask firmly in place. He picked up his basket and cocked his head towards the bedroom.
Is my patient in there?
Lin Nansheng had heard the arrival, and they found him propped against the headboard. Lo Fei was momentarily cheered by that evidence of returning strength, until he noticed the beads of fresh sweat at the hairline. His hands trembled where they rested on top of the covers.
"This is the doctor I promised," Lo Fei said instead of berating Lin Nansheng for not lying still.
"We'll let him treat that hole in your leg." Lin Nansheng smiled.
"Thank you," he told Benji Ming. "The streets are not safe, and I appreciate the risk you are taking for a stranger."
"Any friend of Lo Fei's?" Benji Ming said briskly. "Let's get a look at you."
He laid his palm on Lin Nansheng's forehead, then placed two fingertips on either side of his throat. He used the side of his thumb to lift Lin Nansheng's right eyelid, exposing more of the eye. His face gave nothing away.
"Lo Fei said you were shot in the leg last night?" "It's only a flesh wound,"
Lin Nansheng said.
"Lo Fei cleaned it but did not want to suture the injury before you had seen it. But you must understand that time is of the essence for me. Please, do whatever you can to allow me to be on my way as soon as possible."
Benji Ming folded back the bedclothes, then peeled away the bandages. He turned without comment and pulled a flashlight from his basket of supplies and trained it on the exposed wound. After a few long moments, he clicked off the light and set it aside, unpacking more supplies from his basket. Rubber tubing, bottles of clear liquid.
"Bring me your hat stand, Lo Fei. You'll help me set up the IV."
"And suturing the wound?"
Lin Nansheng pressed.
"Won't be much point once you've gone into cardiac arrest."
"Is that likely?" Lo Fei interrupted in horror.
"Your friend's anxiety is a classic symptom of shock," Benji Ming frowned. "I don't know what your excuse is."
He stretched Lin Nansheng's arm out along a pillow at his side.
"You'll feel a stick," he announced as he slid a needle into his vein.
"What are you giving me?"
Lin Nansheng asked warily, eyeing the bottle Benji Ming proceeded to hang from the hat rack Lo Fei had brought to the side of the bed. "You could use a transfusion, but this is just saline."
He took out a clinical thermometer and shook it to recalibrate the mercury.
"Hold that under your tongue."
Benji Ming pulled a chair around and sat down before taking Lin Nansheng's wrist to monitor his pulse.
"So do you know..." Lo Fei started.
Benji Ming frowned at him, and he broke off. Lo Fei's foot tapped an anxious tattoo that was muffled by the rug. Not muffled enough, apparently, because Benji Ming frowned at him again. Lo Fei forced himself to sit very still, and he focused on Ji Ming's long fingers, curled with care around Lin Nansheng's wrist. The only sounds in the room were the ticking of the clock on the wall and Lin Nansheng's breathing, shallow and quick. Benji Ming measured time by checking the watch on his wrist. At length, he eased the thermometer out of Lin Nansheng's mouth and looked at the reading.
"Well?" Lo Fei demanded.
Benji Ming addressed Lin Nansheng instead.
"There is already some loss of tissue viability. I believe you'll make a better recovery after surgical debridement,
but obviously the circumstances are less than ideal. I am unhappily aware that I probably already know the answer to this question, but let me ask anyway. Will you allow us to take you to a hospital?
No.
Lin Nansheng looked at him steadily.
I'm sorry, doctor. Any treatment must happen here.
Then Jiming sighed. I was not able to bring anesthesia. He turned. Lo Fei, I never thought I would be grateful for your filthy habit, but it's all I'll be able to give your friend for pain management during the surgery.
Lo Fei looked past him to see Lin Nansheng's expression. He expected the immediate protest, but the depth of sadness in his eyes surprised him.
And I am sorry as well that my benefactor is not more careful of his health, Lin Nansheng said. Our cause cannot afford to lose even a single brave patriot.
He closed his eyes.
But in any case, I do not want or require heroin.
Did Lo Fei tell you that I'm actually a coroner? Benji Ming snapped. So I had no desire to cut into a man who's still living in the first place.
But I will certainly not perform surgery on someone who is fighting back. Lin Nansheng started to protest, and Benji Ming talked over him.
No, you cannot promise to lie still under the knife without drugs. No one can promise that, and I don't care how dedicated you are to the cause.
I will not be fighting you,
Lin Nansheng returned in his low voice.
If you cannot trust me to lie as still as one of your corpses, then please secure my limbs.
He smiled faintly.
Lo Fei will tell you that I cannot promise to be as silent as a dead man either, but a gag will muffle my voice.
Benji Ming just looked at him.
I see why Lo Fei likes you. You're another impossible bastard just like him.
He picked up his basket of medical supplies.
Doctor, Lin Nansheng protested.
I'm not going anywhere. I just want you to have at least 500 milliliters of saline in your system before I start. While you lie there absorbing fluid in the hopes of avoiding death by systemic organ failure, Lo Fei is going to fix me a cup of coffee and let me raid his chemical and supply cabinet. I didn't expect to be performing surgery today. He stalked off and began rattling around in the repurposed dining room that served as Lo Fei's office and laboratory. Lo Fei bent over the bed and put a hand on Lin Nansheng's shoulder. This time, Lin Nansheng did not look surprised.
I'll be in the next room. Just rest and allow your body to recover in the meantime.
Your friend is a good man,
Lin Nansheng whispered.
I appreciate what you both are doing for me.
He reached out and grabbed a handful of Lo Fei's shirt.
But do not allow him to administer heroin. I would be unable to safeguard matters critical to the survival of all I hold dear while I was under its influence. You must promise me.
Lin Nansheng,
swear to me. Otherwise, please, just let me die.
Lo Fei carefully untangled those clutching fingers.
Lin Nansheng, I promise. Now do not speak of dying to me.
He stared anxiously up into Lo Fei's face, and finally must have decided to trust what he saw there. His arm dropped, and he allowed himself to be settled back into bed. His eyes closed. Lo Fei adjusted the blankets for him and walked into the next room to find Benji Ming had stripped off the long gown. Underneath, he wore a plain linen shirt and trousers. The small lacquer box where Lo Fei kept his supply of heroin sat open on the table in front of him, along with his instruments, a second bottle of saline, and Lo Fei's spirit lamp. Lo Fei was briefly surprised that Benjamin had known where he kept his stash. Then Lo Fei realized he had probably dosed himself in Jiming's company more than once during those dark years after Xiaoman left Shanghai. No surprise Lo Fei would not remember much about that now, even if Benjamin obviously did.
"Since when do you drink coffee anyway?"
Lo Fei snapped instead of giving voice to the emotions roiling his heart. His voice came out far more harshly than he intended.
"Are you asking now just because you know how hard it is to get?"
Benji Ming rolled his eyes. "It is tragic how I abuse your friendship," he conceded mildly. Lo Fei got down a canister of coffee and measured the grounds into the upper globe of his vacuum siphon. Benji Ming looked up in protest when he took the spirit lamp away from him and arranged it under the water-filled lower globe. It was Lo Fei's turn to roll his eyes. He tapped his nose and inclined his head toward the bedroom. Lin Nansheng would hardly believe the excuse of coffee-making if he didn't even smell it brewing. Benji Ming gave him a tight smile and sat back.
"I drink coffee on occasion," he said. "And this afternoon I need it."
That, too, was a lie. Benji Ming refused the steaming demitasse when Lo Fei finally presented it to him, instead reclaiming the spirit lamp from beneath the coffee-making apparatus and getting back to work. Lo Fei took the cup and went back to check on Lin Nansheng. He did not want to watch Benji Ming adding heroin to the second bottle of saline. Lin Nansheng slowly blinked his eyes open.
"Smells good," he murmured.
"It is good. I would be glad to share if you thought you could keep it down."
"Maybe later. Thank you."
"Something to look forward to after the doc gets your leg fixed up."
"Don't pay any attention to him, by the way. I am actually glad to share coffee with friends."
Lin Nansheng smiled softly at that.
"I did not know what to think of Shanghai when I first arrived,"
he confessed quietly.
"And then one day I tried my first café au lait. It was one of the things that made me believe I could find a way to make a home in this city."
Lo Fei heard himself say, "I bought Xiaoman her very first cup of café au lait. She loved it. But then she loved practically everything about the city." He fell silent. Lin Nansheng did him the courtesy of not apologizing again. The silence stretched out between them. Lo Fei sipped his coffee and finally said,
Would you rather I take my cup of coffee and go elsewhere, rather than sit here and torture you with the smell of something you can't drink yet? Please stay. Lin Nansheng closed his eyes for a long moment and opened them again. As grateful as I am for your friend's care, I confess I am not looking forward to the next step. A cautious smile. No more, I gather, than he is. You don't need to worry about his skill. I know he will do a good job. I'll simply owe him far more than a simple cup of coffee once you're back on your feet. Lo Fei polished off his own cup. How are you feeling? Are you cold? He noticed that Lin Nansheng had crossed his free arm over his body, as if trying to hold in his warmth. He didn't wait for Lin Nansheng to say he was fine, and instead pulled a wool blanket out of a chest and unfolded it over him, careful of the trailing IV line. Lin Nansheng settled back with a sigh, eyes sliding shut. His breathing slowed, and the trembling eased. Lo Fei reminisced about his favorite restaurants and their signature dishes from years past, when Shanghai and the French Concession had been very different places. And Lo Fei himself a very different man. Lin Nansheng listened quietly, only an occasional murmur in response to Lo Fei's stories as he drifted in and out of an uneasy sleep.
Chapter 4
Lin Nansheng submitted to the arrangements for surgery more easily than Lo Fei did. Nansheng's calm trust actually made Lo Fei feel a bit sick. But they were doing this to spare him unnecessary pain. He said nothing. At Benjamin's direction, Lo Fei clambered onto the bed and sat against the headboard, and the two of them shifted Lin Nansheng into his arms, settling him between Lo Fei's legs with his back against Lo Fei's chest. The changes in position must have been painful, but hardly a murmur escaped. Nansheng could not stop his trembling, however.
"It is only the cold," he whispered. "I am fine."
Benjamin looked up. "None of us would be here if that were true." Lo Fei wrapped his arms around Lin Nansheng in a loose bear hug and felt him shaking. Benjamin looped a belt buckle around each of Lin Nansheng's ankles and tied the ends to the bedposts. "See if you can pull yourself free."
"I will not be struggling,"
Lin Nansheng assured him quickly. "Humor me. I'd rather not get kicked in the face while I've got a scalpel so close to your femoral artery. And you, Lo Fei, keep your chin hooked over his shoulder so you won't get your nose broken if his head snaps back."
I
know, you won't do that either. We're just going to make sure." It was no hardship for Lo Fei to pull Lin Nansheng closer, arms wrapping more securely around him, tucking his chin over one white shoulder, as though the press of his body alone could keep him warm and safe. "It's all right," he told Lin Nansheng. "See how much you can move." He felt those lean muscles flex against him. "I meant, see if you can break free, like the doctor asked." His muscles flexed again, but Lo Fei remembered how he had fought when he tried to drag him out of the wardrobe. "Pull as if your life depends upon breaking free."
Lin Nansheng arched his body against the pressure of Lo Fei's arms. The bed frame rattled, and Nansheng groaned in pain.
Ugh.
All right, all right, Benjiming interrupted.
That'll do. I'm just going to start the next bottle of saline.
There was no need to hurt yourself, Lo Fei said unhappily. Lin Nansheng slumped in his arms, his breathing ragged. As Nansheng nodded, the side of his face rubbed against Lo Fei's cheek.
You both seem to require a robust demonstration that I could not suddenly run away in the middle of surgery. He almost laughed. If I were a suspicious man by nature, I might think.
Benjamin fumbled the IV bottle and almost dropped it. Lin Nansheng craned his head back to see him, and Lo Fei blurted out,
Oh no, no one would think a man with your background might be a little paranoid. You have said a true thing there.
His voice was too loud, and the humor was forced. But he only realized that after Lin Nansheng had gone very, very still in his arms. For a moment, he even stopped shivering. Then he said,
Lo Fei, what have you done?
He's trying to save your life, Benjiming snapped.
But Lin Nansheng's body was already coiling. Though his arms were still trapped by Lo Fei's, his muscles were taut as steel cables, and they were lifting inexorably against Lo Fei's grasp.
Let me go,
he growled.
Just lie still, Lo Fei yelped.
Even with one foot in the grave, Lin Nansheng was ferociously strong. He twisted until the point of his bony shoulder was jammed hard into Lo Fei's chest. He bucked against his encircling arms, and Lo Fei shouted as he started to lose his grip.
Damn it, Jiming!
Hold on! The bedframe rattled as Lin Nansheng fought, arching his body and trying to kick. Lo Fei couldn't stop him from reaching for the IV line, bandaged flat against his forearm.
Jiming!
Lo Fei yelled again. Then Lin Nansheng slumped, head dropping, arms going limp. Benjiming staggered away and collapsed into a chair so suddenly he might have been the one getting heroin in a vein instead of Lin Nansheng. Lo Fei groaned and let his head thump against the backboard.
Are you all right? Benjiming asked without getting up.
And before Lo Fei could answer, he went on.
You sure as hell owe me a real bottle of burgundy when this is over.
I'll send you home with a jar of my home brew, Lo Fei managed in return. He felt relieved and heartsick in equal measure. Huddled against him, Lin Nansheng had begun flinching and whispering, his words too soft for Lo Fei to make out. Benjiming finally pushed himself out of the chair.
Where the hell did you find this guy?
What made you think he needed our help at all?
He's a man, not a fucking weapon. And of course he needs our help, doctor.
Instead of getting angry, Jiming's expression grew so gentle that Lo Fei had to look away.
I'll do the best I can.
Now, let's get your fierce friend back in position. He helped turn Lin Nansheng's limp body, propping him against Lo Fei's chest once more. Lin Nansheng's head lolled. He was still talking, a slurry of muttered words and groans.
Benji Ming checked that the IV was secure and stepped away to wash his hands.
How could you do it?
Lin Nansheng's voice was suddenly very clear.
Be easy,
Lo Fei whispered miserably.
You're safe. It's going to be all right.
Keep him as still as you can, Benji Ming said. He may still react to the knife.
A shudder went through the body in Lo Fei's arms, but he didn't fight as Benji Ming started to work. He only moaned in anguish.
To betray your people and your brothers. I, Lin Nansheng, swear that I will execute this villain.
He trailed off into whispered imprecations. Lo Fei wondered if he were the villain or if it were Benji Ming. Someone else altogether? He knew how the present and the past blurred in dreams granted by the opium poppy.
Led by a weak, traitorous fool, and I have failed again and again. Lao Gu, I know you were angry with me, but I could not let you do it. The struggle needs you.
He flinched hard, groaning. Benji Ming said, keep him still.
You must not move,
Lo Fei whispered urgently.
Quiet, Nansheng. They are all around us.
That worked for a little while. He froze immediately, holding himself rigid and silent. Eventually, though, his body started to relax. At length he whispered,
I have done terrible things for you.
He swallowed a sob.
I have exposed and endangered good people because you told me I must stay in Shanghai.
He broke off to draw a deep, shuddering breath.
Lan Shenji is a widow. She is raising her son alone. Did you know? Would you even have cared?
His voice started rising, and Lo Fei hurriedly clamped a hand over his mouth. He stopped talking at once. Lo Fei waited a few moments more and then cautiously dropped his hand. Lin Nansheng remained quiet for a time, flinching occasionally as Benji Ming worked, but otherwise still. Then he said,
did you think I was afraid?
You never, Lo Fei asserted cheerfully, but he had a sudden image of a young warrior under the night sky in an age outside of time.
Oh, Shanwei.
He remembered a rueful confession about fear in the heat of battle and the reassurance provided by a mask. And now Lo Fei was the one who had to take a deep, shuddering breath.
Did you think I was frightened?
Lin Nansheng demanded again.
I was never as brave as Julia Zhen, but every time you put your gun to my head, I was more afraid of your disappointment than I was of your bullets. Mo Chen, I gave you my loyalty, my heart, and my body, but you...
Keep him still,
Benjamin demanded again. Lin Nancheng was shaking in Lo Fei's arms, head rolled back on his shoulder, and his face wet with tears.
All right, Nancheng. We have to let the doctor work.
Lo Fei wrapped his arms around him more securely, rubbing his palms along his arms. He nuzzled his jaw against the side of Lin Nancheng's face and whispered, "You're safe, and you must rest now." Slowly, he relaxed, the tension bleeding away, and the shaking beginning to ease. Lo Fei spared a glance down at Benjamin's progress. Lin Nancheng's thighs were pale as rice paper, the veins rising blue. The wound was a terrible red and gray gash that Benjamin was working carefully to clean. The doctor paused, blotted at his work, and dropped another wad of cotton gauze into a bowl at the end of the bed. Then he picked up the scalpel again, surgical forceps in his other hand. Lo Fei had never been squeamish, but he had to close his eyes for a moment. The bedroom reeked of carbolic acid and had the iron tang of spilled blood. "You're safe," he told Lin Nancheng again. "Let it go for now." And for a time then, he was silent again. His formerly quick breaths began to slow, eventually becoming quiet enough that Lo Fei put his fingers under his nose, just to be sure. Benjamin's eyes flicked up. "He's still breathing, isn't he?"
"Yes, he's breathing. How much longer? We're torturing him, Jimmy."
"It would have been worse without your drugs."
His tone was coroner brusque, but his eyes were still kind. Then Lin Nancheng said,
"She came to me in visions."
"Ah!" Lo Fei exclaimed in relief, hoping the narcotic had finally guided him into gentler dreams.
"I know she must be so beautiful to you."
"She was happy. She touched my face and smiled with such affection."
He hummed a snatch of music, allowing himself to remember.
"Then I knew she loved me enough to forgive me."
He fell silent before concluding,
"She really is in Shanghai now, and I'm so ashamed."
Well, that had gone south pretty damn fast.
Lo Fei shifted his embrace as Lin Nancheng began to weep, and he wondered if there were truly no happy memories.
"I know she would not want you to feel that way," he ventured.
"She's pragmatic and understands she's dependent on the shelter I can provide,"
Lin Nancheng whispered miserably.
"But how should she ever trust me? I was Mo Chun's creature, and even a dog would have more honor."
Lo Fei didn't try to stop his quiet sobs after that. He folded his arms around him again and began unconsciously rocking them both, until Benjamin told him gruffly to sit still. "Almost done," Jiming said at last. He sat back and stretched, cracking his back.
How is it? Is he going to heal? I think he has a better shot now. Give me a couple of minutes and I'll suture it up. He stood to switch out the IV, then walked into the next room. Lo Fei heard him rattling around, washing up, heating water. He walked back with two cups, drinking from one of them. He came to the bedside and held the second up to Lo Fei so he could take a sip without releasing Lin Nansheng, who lay limp against his chest, asleep or unconscious. "It's just the drug, you know," Benji Ming said. "It takes some people that way. And it's still better than being awake through surgery." Lo Fei swallowed and managed a smile for his friend. He said, "You should try to forget everything you heard him say just now." Benji Ming sighed. "I was performing surgery under appalling conditions, not listening to opium dreams. It looks like you're the one who needs to be reminded not to put any stock in what a man says under the influence." "Of course not," Lo Fei said too emphatically. Ben Jiming looked skeptical, but he had another sip of water before putting both cups away and returning at length to finish his work. A dozen stitches closed the wound at last. Lin Nansheng lay so still throughout that Lo Fei checked more than once to be sure he was still breathing. "All right," Benji Ming announced. "It's up to heaven now. He should see a physician who specializes in living human bodies if he has any questions about the way it's healing." "I assume he has people who can take care of him once he's strong enough to leave." "Benji Ming, thank you." He smiled uncomfortably and unfastened the belts that had kept Lin Nansheng's legs tied down during the surgery. He cleared away the supplies and bloody detritus, and together he and Lo Fei shifted his limp form until he was stretched full length on the bed. As Lo Fei pulled up the blankets, Lin Nansheng suddenly opened his eyes to look at him. His pupils were pinpricks, all but lost in the seas of dark iris. He said, "I am so sorry." Lo Fei made himself laugh. "Whatever are you talking about? You have no reason to apologize to me." "I am sorry I cannot know you in this lifetime." The hairs rose on the back of Lo Fei's neck. "What did you say?" "You would always love me more than you loved our fight for freedom. And oh, my beautiful Zhao Yunlan, so would I."
"Xiangwei! Xiangwei!"
But he only closed his eyes. A moment later, he was asleep. Chapter 5. Lin Nansheng slept for the next 12 hours. When Lo Fei heard him stirring at long last, he set a kerosene lamp on the bedside table and leaned over to check on him. In the golden light, Lin Nansheng immediately reached up to grasp his shirt.
"I fixed the radio," he whispered, eyelids fluttering as he tried to focus.
Lo Fei covered the hand knotted in his shirt.
"Good work," he said.
You can rest now.
Say nothing, Lin Nansheng insisted.
Not a word, Lo Fei promised, and those worried eyes finally closed. Another moment passed before his clutching fingers relaxed enough for Lo Fei to untangle them. He laid Lin Nansheng's arm back down at his side. When he stood and turned, taking the lamp away with him, he found Benji Ming standing in the doorway. His hair was tousled, and he had a blanket wrapped around his shoulders.
Is he starting to come out of it?
Well, he opened his eyes and said something about a radio.
Let me take a look while I'm up. Hold the lamp for me.
Lo Fei followed him back to the bedside. Benji Ming laid a hand on Nansheng's forehead and then lifted his wrist carefully, three fingertips over his pulse. Finally, he folded back the bedclothes. The flesh of Lin Nansheng's thigh was very white under the lamplight, the ladder of stitches across the wound very dark.
Why don't you get some sleep? Benji Ming said then. I'll watch him for now.
When Lo Fei refused, Benji Ming put an arm around his shoulders and physically walked him into the next room.
That wasn't actually a request, he said. You're dead on your feet.
He pushed Lo Fei down into the armchair and covered him with a blanket that was still warm from his own shoulders.
I'll call if there's any change.
He's talking about things that could get us all killed. You don't need to hear more.
Lo Fei, I already know he's the Secret Service agent who investigated Xiaoman, and that he's locked in a blood feud with the traitor running Jessfield 76.
Oh, yes, and apparently they used to be lovers?
Do you think I'm likely to hear anything even more desperately dangerous tonight?
He paused.
Well, I guess I might, but they could only kill me once.
You told me you weren't listening, Lo Fei complained.
I lied. Your Lin Nansheng would remind you that we're both a pair of big fat liars.
He's not my anything.
I know you think I'm oblivious unless the matter has been presented to me on a slab in the morgue, but please, Lo Fei, give me just a little credit.
He bent forward and put a hand on Lo Fei's shoulder.
At least let me help.
He was delusional, Lo Fei insisted weakly. Nothing to do with me.
Benji Ming released him, but only so he could smooth the tears from Lo Fei's face with the side of his thumb.
Lo Fei had thought the darkness would hide him.
My good friend, Benji Ming said. My oldest friend. I may not understand. In fact, I'm sure I don't. But when have I ever understood you? Now stay there. I'll bring you something to drink.
He padded away in the darkness and returned with a teacup that he pressed into Lo Fei's hands. The smell reached him before he could take a sip. It was his own Huangju. He looked up.
Doctor's orders?
If that's what it takes to make you drink it.
Not a problem.
His homebrew was harsh and raw, but it was far easier to down that in a gulp than it was to talk any more
about Lin Nansheng. He closed his eyes and let Benjamin ease the emptied cup from his fingers. He listened to his friend's soft footfalls cross to the next room. He would rest, just for a little while. In dreams, he walked the courtyard of his mind with Shen Wei at his side. Lo Fei was chattering and happy, laughing as he showed off the highlights of the garden. The perfect vista as seen from this pavilion, the landscape in miniature framed by the circle of the moon gate, bamboo chimes clattering in the light wind. A sudden splash from the pond. Lo Fei turned to watch the fluttering, translucent fins of a fat koi with scales of black and gold trail luxuriously through the water. The big fish finally dove, and when he turned back, Shen Wei was nowhere to be seen. Lo Fei turned slowly, not worried yet, because surely he would always be right here at his side. Shen Wei? He called, and then opened his eyes. The light through his living room window was hazy and bright. It was mid-morning at least, maybe later. He glanced at the clock. 1:30, in fact. Lo Fei groaned and pushed aside the blanket. Jiming, he croaked. He's gone out. He staggered into the bedroom. Lin Nansheng was sitting up in bed, his eyes clear and calm. A teapot and 2 cups sat on the bedside table. He left a note for you. Lin Nansheng pointed towards the dresser. How are you feeling?
Me? I'm not the one who...
Not the one who was forcibly given heroin, no. Lin Nansheng interrupted mildly. I have learned a valuable lesson. A doctor will follow his own course of treatment regardless of the wishes of the patient. I'll know better next time.
I was going to say, I wasn't the one who got shot on the street in the early hours of yesterday morning.
Lo Fei picked up the folded sheet of paper and skimmed Benji Ming's note. He looked back at Lin Nansheng with a painful sense of double vision. Shen Wei, right here before him, saying his name. At the same time, he was Lin Nansheng, the implacable warrior for his cause, who didn't know him. Who would never know him. Lo Fei swayed on his feet and put a hand out to steady himself.
Please come and sit down, Lin Nansheng said. You and your friend have sacrificed much. For a man you surely had no reason to love. I would not have survived the day without your care.
Sitting down was a good idea. Lo Fei chose a chair on the other side of the room. My friend says he has gone out to make a phone call for you.
Yes, we agreed it was safest to make the call from a public box. He told me he would return to retrieve his medical supplies later, once I am well away.
Will Lao Gu come to pick you up?
I asked your friend to give a different name to your landlady, Lin Nansheng replied, without answering the question. If your friend did not run into any difficulties, I expect someone to arrive at any time.
He was very different from the desperate young man Lo Fei had yanked out of his wardrobe yesterday morning. Somehow older, wiser. When he wasn't in shock and bleeding to death, Lin Nansheng was the master of his surroundings. He might not be able to walk yet, but Lo Fei had no doubt he was still in control of everything around him. Beautiful in the way ferociously competent people had always been to Lo Fei. Physically beautiful, even now. But everything was moving much too fast. Lo Fei blurted out, "You're not strong enough to go yet." The doctor examined me before he left. He was pleased with the progress of my recovery. Lo Fei winced and closed his eyes. He asked himself savagely how he could possibly be disappointed by this news. Did he really want Lin Nansheng to remain bloodied and weak, tortured by makeshift medical care? Did Lo Fei want him forcibly drugged if that was the only way he could recognize who they truly were? "Will you check at the window?" Lin Nansheng asked. "I think a car has stopped in front of the building." Lo Fei opened his eyes. He forced himself to stand. After all, as he had just told Lin Nansheng, he was not the one who had been shot. Down on the street, a man in a fedora was getting out of the driver's side of a big gray Packard. He retrieved a suitcase from the back seat and entered the building. "I believe your friend is here," Lo Fei said distantly. "It looks like he is even bringing you a change of clothes." He glanced back at Lin Nansheng. The physical wariness he carried in his tight shoulders and the set of his jaw, even as an invalid propped up in bed, seemed to ease. He even gave a wry smile. Fresh clothes would be very welcome. The man who was shown to Lo Fei's door was in middle age, with an unremarkable face. His suit and overcoat were of very good quality, though several years old, and had evidently been much mended. When he smiled at Lo Fei, he wore the mask of a bland and inconsequential city man, good-natured and a little foolish. But his entire harmless ensemble was undone by the gleam of fierce intelligence Lo Fei spotted in his eyes, bracketed by laugh lines as they were. "Forgive the intrusion from a stranger at this time of day," he said with an apologetic laugh. "But I believe you may know a friend of mine." Lo Fei led him in. "He will be very glad to see you. But I would be obliged if you would remind your friend the night streets are a dangerous place for any honest man." The man, Lo Fei was convinced this was Lao Ge, winced and nodded. "It is difficult to tell the young anything, but in these dark days, being impetuous can be a death sentence." He spotted Lin Nansheng through the bedroom door then. Lo Fei was watching Lao Gu's face, and he saw how moved he was. Those sharp, sharp eyes were filmed for an instant. He set down the suitcase with a thump and strode to the bedside to take both Lin Nansheng's hands in his own. "I thought we'd lost you." "I was unforgivably careless," Lin Nansheng said just as softly. "An apology." "It was only a flesh wound, but..." "Let me see," Lao Gu said,
as he turned back the blankets.
"You have been well cared for," he continued in relief after he saw the neat sutures.
"I would not have survived without the assistance of this good man and his friend," Lin Nansheng said. "The injury was infected. They gave me antibiotics and cleaned it surgically. I fear that I was not a cooperative patient."
"Somehow that does not surprise me."
Lao Ge smiled sadly at him and clapped his shoulder before turning to Lo Fei.
"I have no way to adequately thank you for saving his life," he said.
"We are all brothers in a time of war," Lo Fei said. "But if you wanted to repay me, you could ensure that he does not throw away the life we worked so hard to save. He seems far too willing to sacrifice himself."
Lao Ge's kind eyes grew sharp again as he looked at him.
"Lo Fei, isn't it? You were with the French concessions police force for years, if I remember correctly."
Lo Fei smiled tightly and didn't bother to confirm it. He wondered if there could be a whisper of implied threat under that recognition. Lin Nansheng said quickly, "Lo Fei and his friend helped me without a thought for their own safety."
"And mere words will never convey the depth of my gratitude."
Lao Ge bowed, and Lo Fei did not doubt his sincerity then.
"Now, let's get you dressed so that we may leave your kind benefactor in peace."
Lo Fei helped Lao Ge walk Lin Nansheng down to the street, his arms across their shoulders on either side. Though he was much more alert today, he was still panting softly from the strain by the time they reached the street. Lo Fei helped settle him in the front seat after he refused Lao Ge's suggestion that he stretch out across the back. Then, while Lao Ge walked around the Packard to the driver's side, Lo Fei stood at the open door, watching Lin Nansheng. He glanced up, seeming exhausted and a little confused.
"Thank you," he said again.
"I was telling the truth when I said I owed you my life. I will never forget."
Lo Fei shook his head. "I'm only sorry that I never got to serve you a cup of coffee. It's just as well that Jiming didn't try to brew a pot this morning while I was still asleep. He doesn't even like the stuff."
Lao Ge slid in behind the wheel on the other side, and Lo Fei stepped back to close the passenger side door.
"Let's make a bet," Lin Nansheng said suddenly.
Lo Fei held the door.
"Really? All right, what do you..."
He looked down in time to see Lin Nansheng's eyes suddenly fill with tears.
"No matter how long it takes, one day I will find you again."
His tone remained light, despite the first teardrop sliding down his cheek.
"Maybe then we can share a proper café au lait."
"Good," Lo Fei answered just as brightly. "Good, I'll take that bet."
He swung the door shut and walked back into the lobby of the Sullivan so he would see no more of the tears Lin Nansheng was making no move to wipe away.
Oh,
soul in Nansheng.
End. Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear your feedback.